Welcome to the weekly podcast from Christ Community Church. If you would like more information about this podcast or Christ Community Church, please visit our webpage at www.gochristcommunity.com. Blessings and enjoy the sermon.
God is good. Well, how many of you come here to get something from God? How about the rest of you? What did you come here for? Well, praise God. The message that God's put on my heart, some of you, that still seems mighty hot, that microphone. I know some of you, some of you, I might want to shout too, praise God. Some of you have probably heard this before. Before we start, is there anybody here that knows all the needs of everybody here? We don't, do we? That's why we need the Holy Spirit, don't we? Let's just invite Him to. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you here in this service and to have your way. Father, we know that you can do more in just a few seconds than any of the rest of us can do with our fancy messages or anything else. And Father, it's you that we want to touch our hearts and change our lives, Father. And we know that you're a miracle-working God. And anything that we come to you with, that you have the answer. In Jesus' name, amen. Anyway, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. I'd like to read verse 13. And before we start, I feel led to mention, you know, I believe that the message that I have here is from the Holy Spirit, and that it's for us today. And even though I've ministered it and I've preached it in other places, I believe it's for here and right now. And so I believe that this message is from the Holy Spirit. I believe also that this is my beautiful wife, Kathy. And the two of us are one. Amen. So if the Holy Spirit has anything to add to this message, it usually comes from her. Because sometimes I get busy with the message and she can stay in tune with the Holy Spirit. And she has the permission to interrupt me at any time. Actually, I shouldn't even say interrupt, because it wouldn't be interrupting me, would it, if the Holy Spirit had something. Amen? Well, the message that I have is called The Trail. Amen? And I worked for several years for the Cottonwood Ranches and Blaine Jackson, packing up and down in the Jarbidge Wilderness. And I'd usually try to take a scripture and meditate on that scripture all day long, get all that I can get out of it. And, you know, sometimes I'd pick a scripture out to meditate on, and within 10 minutes I'd forgot all about what it was, not even remember what it was. But, you know, sometimes I'd take a scripture and just chew on it and feed on it and repeat it over and over, and the Lord just dropped things into my spirit. And what I'm going to share with you is some of the things that was given to me packing up and down the mountain for hunting camps. And like I said, the title of this is The Trail. And chapter 7, verse 13, it says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way, the road, the path, or the trail that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. But narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life." That word life is the word zoe. I mean the God kind of life. "And there is few who find it." Now I think in the King James, it says straight gate. But that word that's translated straight or narrow in the New King James means narrow from obstacles standing close about, as between two rocks. You ever been between a rock and a hard place? You ever heard that? We all have, haven't we? So what that means is this narrow gate, or straight gate, is as between two rocks. And that gate that we need to enter in through is not going to conform to us. Amen? In other words, it's fixed. That gate is solid. Whatever position that is, that narrow gate, we're going to have to conform to get through there, aren't we? Change whatever position, whatever it is, duck to go through. Whatever the position of those, that narrow gate is, it's not going to conform to us. We have to conform to it, to enter in through it. Enter by the narrow gate. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way, the road, the path, or the trail that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and that life more abundantly. And there are few who find it. Turn with me to John chapter 14, verse 6. What did I say? John 14. I know I got it here somewhere. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we have to enter in through that narrow gate, which is Jesus, isn't it? He's the only way. Turn with me to John chapter 10. Hope you guys are finding these faster than I am. John chapter 10, verse 1. It says, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. How many of you know that I don't know a lot about sheep and haven't been that much around sheep pens or anything else, but I doubt if they have doors. We're still talking about a gate, aren't we? But he who enters by the door or the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, or the gate. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Amen. You know, we have some neighbors up in our country, the Gearys, that run a lot of sheep. And one time we was driving down the highway, and there at the gravel pit, they had all these pens set up and were shipping sheep out of there. Well, we stopped and looked that whole deal over. And what impressed me the most is it looked like a toy setup. All those pens was only about this high. Had all the gates and the working alleys and everything just like you would in a real deal. Except it was only about that high. I thought, this is kind of fun. So we watched them for a little while and got tired. But something that dawned on me, it wouldn't take much to just step over from one pen to the other. You know, there's a lot of people in the sheepfold today that have not entered in through the gate. They've climbed over some other way. They look just like the sheep. They sound just like the sheep. They sing right along with the sheep, fellowship with the sheep, but they've never entered in through the gate. There's only one way. No matter what you see on the news, there is only one God, and there is only one way. There's not many ways to heaven. There's one way. And that way is not going to conform to you. We have to enter in by that narrow gate. Amen? And praise you, Lord. You know, where are they at? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. This building is not the church. You are the church. You are the body of the anointing. I will place a shepherd to shepherd you in this church. Again, this building is not the church. You are the church. That shepherd that I will place in this church, you will all know that he is your shepherd. That shepherd will be birthed from the anointing on the inside of each and every one of you. It'll not come by committees or boards. That shepherd will be birthed from the inside with prayer. And each of you will know when that shepherd is here. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Let's just praise you. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise your holy name. Father, we praise you. And we thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord. You know, one thing hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not lost. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise you. Praise your holy name. He keeps telling me to explain a little more on that. The name that has been put on this building is Christ Community. That word Christ means anointing. That means God's anointing. That anointing was on Jesus. Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's Jesus, the anointed one of God. God anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. Through the anointed one, you are anointed. Amen. Each and every one of you sitting in here is anointed by God. The shepherd, his job is to stir up the anointing that is in you. Because that anointing is what will change your lives. The importance of the shepherd that stands in the place to shepherd this flock is an awesome responsibility. And it's an awesome responsibility for you to pray and put that shepherd in this place. Your children's future relies on what is spoken from this pulpit. We don't need to take that lightly. Your future, your prosperity, the things that the shepherd will stir up on the inside of you is what will prosper you, what will move you down the trail of life. And again, that anointing that's on the inside of you, the anointing that's on the inside of each and every one of those children that's back in that back room, is stirred up by the shepherd that stands in this place. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, in Matthew, it says to enter in by the narrow gate, for broad is the way that leads to destruction. In all actuality, that narrow path or trail, it says to enter in by it. Well, you know, when you're most pens that I've seen, when you enter in, you're kind of closed in. But this one sounds more like when you enter in through the gate, it's wide open. Almost opposite of what we think of when we think of pens or entering in through a gate. When we think of entering in through a gate, that we're entering into an enclosure. But enter into this gate, the whole world is before you. Amen. And it says to walk that narrow path. And that's what I'd like to share with you today. Some of the things I learned from packing up and down that trail. One of the first things that I noticed, you know, in the Jarbridge Wilderness is some very steep, steep country. There's places that you can reach out of, lean out of the saddle a little bit and touch the mountain on this side. And you can probably spit for 50 feet off of this side. It's very steep. But there's places that cross the creek and stuff going up in some of these camps. And when you've got, you know, four or five horses behind you, when you come to one of those creeks, you try to bring them along to where you can get them all in the creek at one time so that they can drink and refresh themselves. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, the art to a packer is to tie each horse together to where they just got enough room to drink or something, but not enough room to step over the rope. Well, you know, sometimes when you got them all lined up and they're refreshing themselves in the creek and drinking, a person needs to really pay attention, because as soon as a head or two pops up out of the water, it's time to march down that narrow trail. Amen? Because the longer you stay in that place of refreshing, the more likely it is that you're going to have a wreck. Because something is going to step over the rope. Somebody's going to back over something. Somebody's going to kick somebody. Something's going to go on. So as soon as everything is refreshed a little bit, it's time to move down that narrow trail. Amen? You know, it's that way in life. There's a lot of us have come to a place of refreshing, and we're trying to camp there. We wonder why we're having one wreck after another when you're not supposed to stay there. I'm talking about that place of complacency, that comfortable place. I don't care if it's in your church, in your home, in your job, wherever that is, that's not the place to camp. You're wondering why you're having one wreck after another. It's because you don't belong there. You need to be walking down that narrow path that leads to life and life more abundantly. Amen? You know, you can't rest. You know, even though you can refresh your horses and stuff when you cross that creek and everything, there's places on that trail, the mountain might be steep, but the trail going alongside the mountain is level. And that's a lot better place to let your horses blow a little bit and catch their breath. And because when it's level, even though the mountain's steep, they've ate all the grass off the high side already. I'm standing in front of them so they can't go forward. They're tied together so they can't back up. They can't reach anything on the other side. So this is a good place to let them blow, let them have a good rest, and just stop and eat you a candy bar or refresh yourself and camp for a little bit. Amen? Well, one day I was stopped, unwrapped a candy bar, eating a little candy bar, and Dottie, second mare from the inn, she decides not to walk in love. Amen. Well, she kicks old Drafter as he's on the back end, and when Drafter rears back, it caught her leg and flipped Dottie upside down, and down the mountain she goes, pack first. It's not fun. Well, Drafter, he's tied to her. So off they go. They're going as hard as they can go, sliding down the mountain. Well, they finally hung up in some brush. I jumped off and hobbled horses and tied them to everything I could tie to get back there to the back end and seen my horses down the mountain there a long way. Well, I climbed down there. I had to cut one of the packs and pull stuff out of that pack so that mare could roll over because he's hung upside down. I finally got them to their feet. You know, one thing that I didn't do is take those two horses all the way back to camp and start over. I got back on that trail in the closest place I could get on my trail. Amen. Amen. In other words, I just hightailed around till I run to that trail. I brought them right back up and hooked them back onto the horses right where they'd left. You know, a lot of times in life, for some reason, Satan has tried to convince us that when we step off that narrow trail, that we have to go home and start over. You don't have to start over. You have to get back on that trail in the same place that you left it, or as close to that place as you can possibly get. Amen? You know, old Drafter is a horse I usually put. He's a little roan horse and very agile. He's a big horse, but I always put him on the back end because there's a what you call a whip on the back of those horses. When you go down through a draw or something, time that end horse gets there, he's really sickling through that draw, or he go over a hump or anything. It's like the whip on the end of a chain or something. That back end, sometimes he's at a high run trying to catch up with things going down through the draw. And there's another thing. He was an easy horse to recognize or spot. One time, you know, when I'm supplying those camps, sometimes you have to take the, you know, I have a main camp on Cottonwood Creek and a main camp on Camp Creek. And I supply one, and the next day I go to the other one, and just back and forth. Well, you have to, when you take supplies to a camp that's got hunters and stuff in it, there's a lot of trash and a lot of different things that you have to pack off of there. Extra horses, because you don't want to be feeding extra horses up on the mountain. So one day I'm coming off of there, and a pretty good pack string is about 5 horses. It's pretty easy to manage, easy to see them all. It's strung out quite a ways, but you can see them. I don't know how many horses this day I had, but I was bringing some extra horses off the mountain. And so old Drafter is back there, and I very seldom got a glimpse of him. Amen? Because that string was long enough that through the winding and going around through the mountain there, you just catch a glimpse every once in a while and know that your string's still all together. But you know, after you've done it for a little while, you can kind of feel through that line what's going on back there. One time we're coming down off the mountain, and sometimes I like to get in a little bit of a hurry going home. I don't know about you, but I was sickling right along, and there's one place where we had to cross the creek, and it made a sharp bend, and there was a tree laying down just across the creek. Well, I went across the creek and down, made my corner, and coming down through there, and all of a sudden, things come to a halt. You can hear leather popping and cracking, and things are going on back there, and you know something is not right. Amen. So again, you jump off, hobble your horse, you start tying horses to things, you to keep everything straight, to get back there in the back end and find out what happened. Well, what happened is old Drafter got on the wrong side of that log, that tree. And he's standing on his hind legs trying to go up over that tree, and he's not going to make it. And things are stretched just about as tight as they can stretch. Well, I cut him loose and took him around that tree and hooked him back to the end of that deal, my string. You know, sometimes you're wondering what that has to do with life, huh? The narrow trail. Well, you know, a lot of times when you're first born again, it seems like you get away with about anything, don't you? But the more you learn God's word, it seems like the narrow his patience is. That's not true, but that's what it seems like, isn't it? In other words, there's things that you used to get away with that you can't anymore. And sometimes there's things in your past that you're walking down that narrow trail. You're traveling down that narrow trail, but you're going to come to a point in your life where everything comes to a halt. And you're not going to go any farther down that trail until you fix something back there. Amen or oh me. Is that true? In other words, there's something that has been off the trail back here. And you're not going any farther down that narrow path that leads to life and life more abundantly until you get all this back in line. Amen? Does everybody understand that? We've all had those things, haven't we? Sometimes there's something that you need to go fix in your past so that you can travel up that narrow trail. Amen? You know, is it okay with telling these stories? Is anybody getting anything out of this? Okay. I got a few more. You know, when I not only took care of the two main camps, but we had what we called drop camps off to the side. And sometimes you had to take care of these drop camps. What a drop camp is somebody that has a lot of their own equipment or everything, and they just want us to pack their stuff in and leave it, or if they're missing a tent or if they're missing stoves or anything that they're missing, we'll supply that stuff. But we just take them in and drop them. We don't guide them. We don't do anything. It's a drop camp. Okay, does everybody understand that? So one day, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Blaine gets a call on the radio that one of our drop camps, something happened there. They wasn't getting along or whatever. And one of the men walked out of the drop camp and caught a ride to Elko and called the ranch to radio up that everybody was ready to get off the mountain and wanted somebody to come pick them up. Well, this is 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So I gathered up what horses I could because I had to not only bring those hunters out, I had to bring all the supplies and all their camp and everything out of there. So I got to the drop camp late that evening, started packing up the camp. Me and I had a helper that was helping me. By the time we got that whole camp packed on those horses, the sun was just disappearing out of sight. It was one of those evenings that you could hold your hand up like this and you couldn't see it. Just pitch black. Well, we got all the horses loaded and we're ready to go home. Have you ever heard anybody say, just turn your horses loose, they'll take you home? We've all heard that, haven't we? You know, we've got another saying in the church is almost like that. Just walk by faith. Amen. Right? Amen. It's easier said than done, isn't it? A whole lot easier. You know, until you've got into a position to just turn that horse loose and let him go wherever he wants to go, it ain't easy. Amen. Well, we loaded everybody up and we're headed off the mountain there. And I've been around horses all my life, and I know, I've been told all my life, just turn them loose, they'll take you home. Well, basically, that's all I could do is turn him loose. But that doesn't help your mind any. Amen? Pretty quick, I'm thinking, we should have crossed the creek by now. We should have went across those rocks. I should have went past that branch that just kind of swipes by you. I should have, right? Well, out comes my little pin light, and I turn it on so I can see, and I'm on the trail. Everything's good, and I'm real comforted by this light. But one thing I found out, as long as I'm shining my light out here, my horses are stumbling because they can't see. So out goes my little light. We're good. We're on the trail. No sweat. God's got us on the track. What do you think happens about 5 minutes down the trail? We should have crossed the creek by now. I should be on the other side of the creek. I should be, right? And your mind is picturing this mountain, because if you take the wrong turn, you could just fall off into nothing. Amen? Have you ever been that place? Where it looks like that's the end of the world right there. Well, what do you think happens? Out comes my little light. Right? I'm right on the trail, right where I'm supposed to be. Everything's good. So out goes my light. Just walk by faith. God will see you through, right? It's easier said than done, isn't it? But you know, it is the truth. If you turn your horse loose, he will take you home. Amen. And the last thing God needs is your little light. Amen. Say amen or oh me. Is that true? Because you're not helping anything with your little light. He's got it all handled. All you need to do is trust him. Amen. Turn your horses loose. They'll take you home. Amen. You know, one day we had this clever idea. We're sometimes full of clever ideas. But, you know, in the springtime, we had to set these camps up and we'd clear the trails and do all the things to start bringing hunters up there. Put our base camp and stuff. Well, we come up with this clever idea that we'd have a packing school. So, actually, Elton was with us, her husband. We'd have this packing school. So we'd teach these people how to pack these horses. We'd teach them how to clear the trail. Teach them how to set all the tents up and all the things up in our camps. And we'd just sit back and be the teachers. That's a good idea, isn't it? Amen. Well, we loaded all of our horses and we're headed up the mountain. And there's a place, what we call the falls, where the waterfall comes over. And there's a few switchbacks. And you have to scramble the horses up over this big shale rock, or big limestone rock, and turn these corners. And it just switches back, and it's very steep. And so it's steep enough that whoever's at the bottom you wait for the person in front of you to get his string to the top and him holler back at you that you can start with yours. So each person waits at the bottom. Well, there'd been a couple of strings go up in front of us. Well, Scott had a mare called Gina, and she had an eye that was all messed up, and I asked him about that eye one time, and all he said was she wouldn't load in the horse trailer. So I kind of figured most of it out. Her head was sunken in a little bit, but he wanted me to pack this mare. Well, I packed her, 4 or 5 times, but it got to where I thought, you know, this mare was always going on the wrong side of the tree, going on the wrong side of the rock, always doing something wrong on purpose. And when you try to catch her in the morning, she'd be running at you, and you'd jump out there, holler, whoa, and she'd just roll that eye back in her head till it was just white, and she'd just freight train you. So I got to where I wouldn't pack this mare. And I told Scott, she's dangerous. You know, I wouldn't have anything to do with her. Well, when he come up there, this packing school, he decided he's going to hook Gina on, and he's going to put her right behind him, and he was going to pack her and teach her how things are done. He only had a couple of horses behind him. Well, he went on up the trail, and he was right in front of me, and all of a sudden I heard him say, "Look out!" And this horse was going end over end, coming down the mountain toward us, and come off over that waterfall and hit on the ground. Well, I handed my horses to Elton and run out there and started cutting the pack and stuff off of this horse, and stood the horse up, and he was just fine. And I no more than got that horse stood up, and they hollered, "Look out, here comes another one." Well, there come a horse off of that mountain. He was sitting down on his haunches like this, and he's doing 60 miles an hour down the mountain. He never slipped his pack or nothing. He just hit the ground running when he come off the bottom. And I grabbed a hold of that horse and moved it, and they hollered again. And here come Gina. End over end over end. But there was something different about the way this mare was coming. Thank you. You knew that this mare was dead before she started off of that mountain. Just the way she was coming end over end, coming down that mountain toward you. And she hit the bottom out there, and she was dead. And the life lesson in that is that mare always stepping off the trail. You know, what happened up there on the top was Gina just stepped off the trail into space. Well, Scott had to let go of her, and she slid down, and she hung up in the brush about 10 foot off the trail. Well, the horses that were tied to her would just shot right on by her, and the one horse, he just set up and broke loose from the other one, and the one that was in the middle, just his first one that come down, tumbling end over end. The one that come down, sliding down the mountain, was the one that just, he just got stopped up there, but every time he moved or wiggled, he'd slide farther down the mountain. Till pretty quick, he come all the way to the bottom. Well, they took the pack off of Gina to take her back to the top. And if she'd had any sense at all, when they got her stood to her feet, she'd have just scrambled back to the trail. But that isn't Gina's way. She come up from behind that tree and down the mountain she come. She lost her life over it. And the life lesson that the Lord taught me, it makes a difference who you're tied to. God's word says not be unequally yoked to a non-believer. You know, Paul was shipwrecked, wasn't he? Did Paul follow God? He did, didn't he? He was obedient to God's word and everything. The reason they went through the shipwreck, bit by a snake, and all the things that he went through was because of the people that he was tied to on that ship, right? It makes a difference who you're tied to. If you're tied to somebody, and young people, this is something you need to listen to. Because if you're following, if you're tied to somebody that is constantly stepping off the trail, you're following the wrong person. Amen? Amen? You could either lose your life or you're going to be in for one of the biggest storms you've ever been in. Amen? And it's because of who you're tied to. Amen? Is that true? Getting anything out of this? You know, as a packer, it was my job to load those horses and load all those supplies and all those things and pack them up the mountain. But you know, it was a hard day. It was 4 hours to the main camp. So time you packed your horses, you rode 4 hours into that camp, you unloaded horses, you packed up whatever you had to pack, and it's 4 hours out and put your horses up. That's a long day. You know, it had been a whole lot nicer day if I'd have just saddled my horse up and just went for a stroll up the mountain. Amen? It could have been a beautiful ride. But that isn't what I was doing. I'd load one horse, and then I'd load another horse. You know, God's word says to lay aside the weight that so easily besets you. Amen. You know what most of us do is we come to the foot of the cross, we come to Jesus, and we unload all these cares and all these burdens and everything at Jesus' feet. And Jesus takes them from us, sets us free, and we think, oh, man, is that nice. Thank you, Lord. And then you start packing it all back up. Amen. Yeah. Amen or oh me. Is that the truth? It is, isn't it? When what we should do is leave it there. Amen. Amen. Because it's those things that are hindering you from that narrow trail that leads to life and life more abundantly. Leave all that stuff at Jesus' feet. He cares for you. His burden is light. You know, we started out with it said to enter in by the narrow gate. We described that that gate is as between two rocks. In other words, it's not going to conform to you. We have to conform to it. If there's anybody here that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, has never entered in through that narrow gate. Or maybe you've been going to church all your life. You've hung out with the sheep. But you know in your heart that you didn't enter in through the gate. You've never given your life to the Lord. You've never given Him the reins to your life. If that's you this morning, just raise your hand. I'd like to pray with you. Amen. I'm not going to have us close our eyes because this isn't something I can trick you into. This is something that you have to do with your eyes wide open. Amen. Because I'm here to tell you, it's not easy. It's better. Amen. When you start going cross-grain to the rest of the world, it is not easy. But it is better. That life more abundantly. Anybody here at all and like prayer that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Anybody? I guess we're all good, right? Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we've all been in those places that I just described, kind of hung up in that place of refreshing when that comfortable place and you need to be moving on. Or maybe we're tied to the wrong people. Or maybe we just won't follow God. We've got our light out there trying to find our own path. Amen. Amen. Maybe there's something the Lord's been trying to get you to straighten out and get on the narrow trail back there. And you haven't done it. I'd like to pray a prayer for everybody who'd like to make a commitment this morning, that I'm going to make a new commitment from this day forward. I'm going to walk the narrow path. Amen. To the best of my ability, Lord, before you, and I want to make this statement and commitment before you. And if that's you and you want to make that statement, just stand with me now and we'll pray and make a commitment before God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Father, we just praise you and we thank you right now, Lord God. You see this. You see us standing here, Father, before you. We want to make a new and a fresh commitment to you, Father God, that from this day forward, I'm going to walk that narrow trail, that trail that leads to life and life more abundantly. That, Father, when I step off and I ask for your forgiveness, that you just put me back on that trail. That my life is going to be different from this day forward. And I make this commitment and vow to you in Jesus' name. And everyone that agrees with that, say amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you. Anybody get anything out of that at all? Hallelujah. God is good. I'll turn this over to whoever. All right. You're dismissed. God bless you.